podcast. This is the Tuesday afternoon edition. I'm the host, Chip Sousa, joined by the pride of Strong, Arkansas, the Arkadelphia star football player back in the day, played for the Hogs, Anthony Hicks. A-Train, how we doing? Give me your pulse this week.
Hey, we're doing well, man. I am ultimately glad that no one died of a heat stroke.
Boy, that's something, man. 101 at kickoff on Saturday. Hottest season opener in program history.
And that's what I want everybody to understand, because I can honestly say I played in a lot of different ways. I played in a lot of a different game where you can knock people's head off and do a lot more illegal stuff than now. But I can honestly say I have never played in 100-degree weather.
You know, you could lose 4 or 5 pounds in playing in heat like that.
No, a lot more than that. A whole lot more than that. If you watch the game, you can see these guys. They were literally giving them pickle juice on the sideline.
I love pickle juice.
They was drinking pickle juice and drinking Gatorade.
That's old school, man.
Like, man, dude, they were doing everything because, hey, I got to give it to them. I mean, I understand that they pulled it out, and I understand that people are a little bit skeptical, but gosh, we didn't do Northern Alabama. But if you look at those Alabama teams, and go back and look at UAB, go back and look at some of those other teams that's down south, those teams are very competitive.
Okay, let's talk about that game.
Gotcha.
What did you see in that game that gives you optimism going into the Utah game Saturday?
I know they're in shape. I know that's one.
Yeah.
They looked a whole lot better.
You know, you're right. Now that you mention it, you wouldn't see a lot of guys, you know, cramping up and all that. So you are correct about that.
That was the first thing that I noticed from the whole time, because I was sitting there praying, because I don't have a kid on the team. I don't have specifically somebody that I know, but I was looking at how I was praying for him that nobody had a heat stroke. I mean, you're in 101 degree weather. Real feel is about 105.
Yeah, heat on that.
And then you got these kids that are literally just out there and it's beaming.
Yeah.
And by halftime, half the stands was gone because everybody couldn't take it.
Man, them people on the east side. Bro, that's like watching a game in a microwave.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
It was bad. So seeing these guys being in shape, Noah Franklin has done his job. And that's what I was looking for. You can go back in the old podcast when we did at the Hogs Illustrated luncheon. I was worried about who the strength conditioning coach was going to be. And I was worried about getting these guys in actual shape.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think that they had a chance in the fourth quarter if they weren't in shape. So I know they're in shape.
So we check that box.
Let's check that box.
Check that box.
And a lot of the people on the defense didn't play a lot more. Like, for instance, the guys on the D-line
Did Quincy Rhodes play in the game?
Yeah, he played. He had a couple of tackles. But he didn't have to, because we was able to do the rotation. All right. And, you know, we had played a lot more kids in the fourth quarter. That's the main reason why they scored.
Okay.
You know, the guys, they didn't score on none of
rotational guys coming in.
They didn't score on none of the starters or none of those people. So it didn't. Positive for us, and also too, the offense put us in a lot more situations than I wanted us to experience.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Things that Coach Silverfield stressed in the offseason: ball security.
Mm-hmm.
You can't check that box.
Nope.
3 turnovers, can't
nope.
check that.
Nope.
And playing with more discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Had 8 penalties, can't really check that box either.
Mm-hmm.
5 on the offensive tackles combined.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to get that cleaned up.
Yes, and they got to get it cleaned up. And a lot of the times, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of people are probably down on Big 75, you know, Bouchard. But I'm going to be honest with you, he was pancaking people.
Yeah.
I mean, he did one time, he did a punch, and the guy came and he – swiped his hands down and he just fell on top of him like Kamala, the Ugandan giant. On top of him.
Go a little WWE here.
And
here
they threw a flag right behind it.
Yeah.
And it was like, all he did was pancake block.
Yeah.
And then a down the field run when he was wide open and he just hit a guy, clubbed him.
Yeah.
And when he clubbed him, he just literally threw him 5 yards away. Threw another flag on him. So that's 2 on Bouchard.
Yeah.
And also, too, you know, Coach said it, you have to kind of understand the rules are a little bit different. Depends on officials. But, no, man, I mean, offense be okay. You know, just fine.
I'll tell you what I liked. First of all, Silverfield at halftime and at the end of the game owned that they did not play well.
Oh, yeah.
He owned it. All right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We hadn't seen that a lot, Anthony. Coaches owning.
Accountability.
Yeah.
And that is one of the first things in actually being a mature person really is being accountable for what's going on and what you do. I think these kids are earning. I think they're hungry. I think they are, especially on the defensive side, man, that's the first time I've seen run and striking people in a long time. And they the front seven, there was a tremendous amount of rotation. You can't really just look at one group and tell them which was better and which was worse. The linebackers were fast and coming downhill.
When it's hot like that, how many plays can you go for? Are you every two, three play? Are you how quickly are you rotating?
And see, that was the rotation. The coaches literally thought about that the whole time. I don't think there's anybody on the D line that played more than 30 snaps, if that.
Yeah.
You know, linebackers the same way. I think Ben Bogle only got 12 snaps in the whole game. And when you saw him get in the game, you was like, oh, God, that kid's coming downhill. He was ready to hit.
Yeah.
But that's all of them. I mean, Bradley Shaw, and you say you didn't even see Quincy that much, you know, because he was – I think he was nursing an ankle injury or something like that that kept him out a little bit. But we have some rotation. Okay. We have a lot of depth, a lot more depth than I thought we had. The only – depth that I'm looking at that might be a little bit suspect is in the secondary, you know, because, I mean, you saw where those guys fell down and he got that long 59-yard pass.
He did, yeah.
And that was because DJ Harrison slipped down.
Yeah.
When he slipped down and the safety couldn't catch up and didn't make the tackle.
Yep.
And so, you know, that kid is an athlete and he made a great play.
KJ Jackson, second career start. Mm. Let's keep that in perspective. Second career start, okay? Mm. So, learning – on the fly, and training camp doesn't prepare you that, you know, for a game. Things happen in games that you cannot prepare for, you know, some adversity set. So anyway, first half didn't play great, had a really bad, terrible, awful, oh my gosh, interception there right before half. CJ Brown wide open, missed it. But boy, he went in at halftime and said, I know what's wrong, I'm going to fix it. He looked like a different quarterback in the second half.
He looked like he was more settling down.
Yes.
I mean, I'm still going to say the same thing. The ball's sweaty. It's 100 degrees outside.
You know, that's what we're talking about, the quarterback from North Alabama that fumbled the ball before he hit the ground. Mm-hmm. He's trying to hold it in one hand.
Trying to hold it in one hand.
Bro, how you
– Also, too, guys, how many drops did they have?
Yeah, well, a couple.
Look, yeah. No, not a couple. Well, it was a whole lot of drops in that first quarter.
You know, they had first half or first quarter, maybe an early second quarter, on a fourth down play. Drilled the dude right between the numbers.
Antonio Jordan hit him right in the hand, and he dropped it on fourth down. I said, he had a lot of – he had some drops. He had some opportunities, but – accountability is enough, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not worried about the offense. I think that they're gonna fix it. They only ran a lot of base on everything. I don't even think the defense blitzed one time.
Yeah.
Like I said, we were trying to get our base put in and give people an opportunity to literally see exactly what we can do, but also to give the kids something that they know that they can actually, you know, game plan for, something that they've been working on all preseason, all spring, and just get base, you know, just play base. If we can play base consistently and beat people, anybody, we can, you know, expand off that based on situational when we go into game planning.
Now, we found out they got some tight ends on the team. I don't think they had any last year, do they? If they did, they didn't get the ball none.
Taylor Green really didn't understand check down. I wish his name – if Taylor Green understood what a check down was, he probably would have been a higher draft pick than what he was. But he just – his opportunity was, I'm going to run. And that's what KJ didn't do as much. They literally – he climbed the pocket as much as he could. He tried to stay in there as much as he could to try to give himself get the receivers enough chance to – for the route to materialize so he can actually make a great throw. But he didn't try to run as much. And I think you're going to see it a lot more in future games coming up when people are going to do that he's going to pull it down and run.
Yeah.
But he was trying to concentrate on just doing it, running the base offense, trying to do what they need to do, and they didn't really show hardly anything on offense or defense that's going to give Utah or anybody else something to really work on because everything was in base.
Now, Utah won its opener.
Yeah.
Didn't play anybody. We didn't really play anybody. But they didn't play anybody.
We play somebody.
Yeah, 66-14 against Idaho. Idaho had some bad turnovers in that game that gave up. I'm not saying they would have hung.
Gave up almost 350 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of points on, you know, I think two touchdowns at least off turnovers. Mm-hmm. So so you got to count that in there too. But this is a tough road game.
Yeah.
First of all, just the time when we're going to kick off is challenging in itself.
At least it's going to be cool.
It is, will be.
Well, I don't care, man.
They could be playing in the Middle East. It's going to be cooler than it was.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. There has not been a very consistent practice schedule for any of these teams that's been playing football from high school to junior high to pros to anybody. There's no consistent practice time now because of the heat and the way that the heat is going to bake you. So from that perspective, it's time to play. I mean, Rhett Lashley, see what he did at SMU. It didn't care what time it was. They went down there and whooped their butts. And that's what we're trying to do.
With no modern technology.
With no modern technology.
They're signaling.
And they signaling. And he running to the sideline. Kind of with the
whole, he said, you like that play?
Yeah.
Cool. A-O-K.
Good job. Good job. So that actually showed you who was the best football team. Well, you know, who was more prepared and what coaches actually got their team more ready to play.
Utah's quarterback, Devin Dampier. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of stars. He's got 25 career starts under his belt. That's a factor. You know, KJ's got two. This guy's got 25. Will that be a factor, you think, Saturday night?
Absolutely. I mean, this kid has 25 starts. He has a chance to do a lot more different things and hopefully expand the offense a lot more. I think it's going to be more about, you know, getting them prepared for what they do. God, you got a coach that's been there 19 years.
Yeah.
Okay, when Winningham left and went to Michigan, he just slid on in, and they're going to continue with the same type of program, same type of opportunity. They're going to make some changes, but Utah has always been a big-time run team. If we can consistently, with our first seven, shut them down, get some timely turnovers, get some three and outs, I mean, God, you got to look at it. I think, you know, they were like 1-for-10 on third down last week. At the final of the game.
Yeah.
We can get out the field on third down, give ourselves some time to, you know, have more series for our offense. I think we'll be very productive. But if we go on these long 8-7, 8-minute drives, 10-minute drives, and they just draining out the clock because they know. I mean, honestly, we probably have better athletes. We're probably faster.
Yeah.
We're probably a little bit stronger, probably bigger. But their team is, you know, it's still Utah. Their one thing they don't do is beat themselves. So we're going to have to do something to take them out of there.
You mentioned their run game. They did run the ball very again, Idaho. But they had three guys. One of them was a quarterback, but three guys over 70 yards rushing. Yes. They did rush for a lot of yards. We will have to shorten and make them do what they don't want to do.
But it's going to be emblematical to what we're going to see when we go into the SEC.
True.
Because everybody's going to run the ball. You have your ones that don't want to run it, but in the grand scheme of things, there's not a football coach in the SEC that don't want to run the ball.
Or anywhere.
Everybody
you run the football effectively. You work clock. You break the will of your opponent if you can do that.
And I'm going to be honest with you. If we get to the point, if we went on third down, I'm not worried about the heat this time. If we can tackle and still play the type of football we need to. And also, too, KJ, if the play is not there, take your runs. If he can have 50, 60 yards rushing,
that'd be great.
That would give us a chance to, you know, so those safeties and those corners be looking in the backfield a little bit more because they're worried about him. But also, to just take what they give us.
Yeah.
That's honestly what I saw this last week. He literally took everything that they gave him. But that first quarter, man, that first quarter, second quarter, they was missing balls and doing
some,
stuff.
Like you said, had some drops.
Some drops, man. Yeah. And he's trying to find those confident receivers that he can look for that's going to be able to do some stuff. Marshall, I mean, that boy is bad.
He's a baller.
I mean, but all of them. I mean, you can look at all these. Ishmael, you can look at all these. We have an actual football team. His talent acquisition has been very well.
Yeah.
So let's see if they can put him in the right position to be successful. And they can cut out a lot of the little discipline things. But I couldn't even watch the game and come in 100-degree weather. So what do I expect these kids to do?
Yeah. They ran the football okay at times. I think KJ, he's going to have to do a better job, maybe checking down on, you know, on the RPO, on when to keep, when to hand, when to keep, when to hand. That'll come with time.
There are some things that they can do that they didn't do this time to be able to help with that. If you can saw most of the time, it was number 15, Howard, coming from the backside, that backside defensive tackle, or that backside defensive end crashing down real hard. And we have an H-back, and we have some other people that can actually come back in motion and cut and trap that guy to put him in. But we didn't do it because we didn't want to show that we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some opportunities, but a lot of stuff that you saw, I'm not making excuses. I'm just letting everybody know they ran a lot of base packages that they did. They had like, because Silverfield said that they usually go in with like 75 runs. I think they were probably winning with 12 or 15 because they didn't want to show anything that was going to be crazy or give Utah a match because they're preparing for Utah.
Yeah. Or Georgia.
Or Georgia.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So going into this game at Utah, the time is kind of a little bit quirky.
Yeah.
Is the playing at altitude a factor, you think?
Always is always going to be a factor. That's why we have depth, and I'm happy with that. Like I said, you know, I think these guys are going to be fresh. They didn't play that many snaps on defense. So they didn't play that many snaps on the D-line in the front seven. So from that perspective, I'm not worried about it.
They'll tighten that up this week, right?
They'll tighten that up this week because based on who we're playing.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have better personnel on the other side of the ball, and we're going to try to win a game.
And again, heat, you won't have the heat factor.
You won't have the heat factor. You're literally going to put yourself in a position where you plan a little bit later, so you're going to be a lot cooler. So let's concentrate more on football and what we can do from a technique and how our system is going to work when we play Utah. Because believe me, they're going to line up, and we're going to be able to tell where they run the ball though. But can we stop them?
What did you? After Saturday, what you saw, what did you look at and go, man, we're going to be really good right there?
One play comes to mind especially. I think we were at a third down. I think it was like third and 16 or something, and they ran like a little slip screen out to the right side of the field. And the first thing I did when the play was over, because I think they got 13 yards and they got close to the first down, but they didn't get it. But I pushed pause on the TV and I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 guys got to the ball at the same time. That's what I saw consistently the whole time. Everybody was getting to the football. Everybody was running. You know, you didn't see just, you know, 2 or 3 guys, 4 or 5 guys, people taking a break. And this is in 100-degree weather.
Yeah.
And these guys were still busting their butts,
yeah,
trying to get to the ball in the pursuit. And that's what you saw consistently the whole game. That's what made me, I called and talked to Jamel Harris, and he's like, so what's your synopsis? I say, we got a football team. We got a defensive football team especially. Is that these guys are hustling. They get into the ball, and it seems like they got a chip on their shoulder. So let's see if they can prove it now.
You've played a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
Played in the league. Played in the SEC. Coaches will often say teams make the most improvement from week one to week two.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a real
tremendously,
thing?
Tremendously. Because a lot of times – what you're doing is you're getting all the cobwebs out. You get everything right. You're used to the game aura and all the hoopla that goes along with it. But now you're going on a real road test, and you're going to a place where it's not like anywhere in the SEC. You know,
yeah.
I'm just being honest with you. It's nowhere close to LSU. It's nowhere close to going to Georgia or anywhere, or Alabama. But it's still a nominal, very consistent, you know, technical, disciplined team like Utah that is going to consistently do things the right way. They don't beat themselves. So from that perspective, your discipline is going to have to show up tremendously or not put those kids in a position to have the penalties or the situations that they did by playing sound technical football and also to staying consistent. I just want to see if these guys not playing just 24, 30 snaps, what are they going to do when they play 60 snaps?
Yeah.
Because I saw that first quarter, man, that first half, man. I was looking at that first half totals, man, and I was like, come on now. You had 2 first downs. You was 1 for 7. You said 1 for 7. They had 18 yards total offense. 18 yards total offense in the first half. They had 30 yards passing, but they had negative 12 yards rushing.
Yes.
And that is emblematic of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you keep those guys on the field the whole time and you can – make sure at least 1 to 2 depth chart, if they can do what they need to do on that front seven, and I'm talking about from the linemen and the linebackers, I'm not worried about anything else. And if Utah got to start throwing the ball, good luck.
Yeah.
Because then we're going to release the hounds, and then we get to go get them. And then we can start blitzing, because I don't think we blitzed one time.
I don't remember any corner blitz coming in.
Corner safety.
Even when the quarterback fumbled, that was not the quarterback's trying to get away and he kind of clubbed his.
Like
his
I said, we did not blitz at all. I didn't see it. I don't. Maybe they did something.
No, I think they got different. Pressure with the front four.
They got pressure with the front four.
Yeah,
and that is so unusual from Arkansas Razorback team. I mean, we've been so porous, man. It would be like a sponge. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not been very consistent. So it just feels good to see that. I know that these guys on defense are doing what they want to, but show me. Just do it week in and week out. Next man up, because I think Bradley got a little shoulder issue.
Yeah, a little stinger there.
Hey, man, I'm not worried about it. Jatavion Smith and Bogle and Brad, and, you know, we got Simmons came in and played a lot. And, you know, we got some dogs now, man. Yeah. We got some dudes. So let's see if these dudes put it up against Utah and go in there and come out with a win. And if we come out with a win, man, might be an opportunity for top 25.
Are you saying they're going to come home with a win?
Yes. I think if our defense plays up to what we need to, and I think at least get 21 points, because I don't think they're going to put 66 on us.
No. I don't think so.
They're not going to. And we're going to be able to stop the run.
Now, we're going to have a little fun right here. Okay? Yeah. So people watching, we're going to have a little fun with this. All right. So you said, you know, Coach kept things kind of close to the vest Saturday. He didn't release anything. But I got video. I got video here of a little secret weapon.
Oh my God.
If you were there at halftime, a little secret weapon. You know, we get exclusive sometimes. This is a little exclusive that we got that nobody else get. I they didn't want to show Utah everything. So this is a secret little play. Secret little play.
Gotcha.
That they're going to use. And we got secret video of this. Had people up in the stands Saturday get a little video of this at halftime. Now, I want you to see this play. If y'all can run this play right here, I want you to see how this develops.
Gotcha.
If girls and ladies, we'll go ahead and run this play. Nobody saw that slot back coming from the outside.
That slot was coming in. He was coming in hot. He was ready to go.
So if Coach Silverfield could figure out how to get a ball to that little slot coming around the outside, that might be a good play for
him.
You
do what you got to do to win the game. we are Arkansas, so we're not going to, have some, journeyman judge.
That's right.
Trying to do some stuff.
That's right.
Players, because I think Hunter Henry and everybody else got exhausted all their
eligibility. I think they did.
So we don't need to bring back that anymore.
No.
but we're going to do it what we got. And I think the talent acquisition that, Silverfield and the rest of his coaches and the GM and everybody, I think we got a pretty good football team, and I'm looking forward to
it. I got that play in my back pocket if they need it. We're going to run bark left 31. Fly. That's what we're going to do.
It looked like Jelani Watkins,
man. He did. I was like, woo, where'd that dude come from? All right, so just remember, if you want to catch all of the Arkansas coverage, Razorback coverage, in our podcast, go to WholeHogSports.com. We got everything you need to know about the Razorbacks with content and podcasts, things like that. Anthony and I are here every Tuesday. And this will be, again, we keep it real. We're the realists. We're keeping it real.
Hey, I'm not sugarcoating. I'm not going to be like some of my other people that I've learned from. But there's nothing bad to say now.
Okay.
There's nothing that I can say right now to be outlandish or whatever. I did, believe me, the penalties, I get everybody saying the penalties.
Got to clean it up.
Man, we always talk about putting these kids, these new age kids are soft and how soft they are and how – that wasn't soft this weekend. I mean, that was not soft. That was 100-degree weather with a helmet on, full pads, going four hours, no delays, no nothing. And did they even take hydration breaks? I mean, I don't recall any.
I will say, though, man, that was the longest first half. This first half was long.
It was long because of what we were doing
and
the going back and forth and the changes and some of the turnovers and some of the other stuff that was going on. But – no, man. I just never played in 101, 102 degree weather. Man.
The only thing you do in 102 is get in that pool and find you some shade.
Hey, man, I'm getting in the house.
Even
man.
The pool was kind of, even the pool be kind of cool.
Pool water is hot. With all that bleach. No, that's hot. So, no.
Ooh.
Ready to go, man.
Also, don't forget Wednesday's podcast with Matt Jones and Brandon Marcello. Brandon, of course, senior reporter for CBS Sports. You want to catch that. Our weekly luncheons on Thursdays over at Home 2 Suites in Springdale. This Thursday, we got Hunter Yurachek coming in. Got him coming in. So if you want to catch that, you can buy tickets at OzarksTix.com. That's OzarksTix.com. If you want to go catch Hunter Yurachek, and you can also catch any of the other lunch guest speakers that we got coming in, you won't want to miss that. We honor high school kids at that lunch, and it's a good thing. It's good food.
Yes.
It's a good buffet. So come check that out. Again, tickets at OzarksTix.com. We want to thank our sponsors for today's podcast. Got to pay some bills here.
Always.
Southern Loft believes that your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste.
These beautiful
chairs.
It's nice.
All right. Whether you're looking for a comfy new sofa for your living room or man cave, or a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they have just what you're looking for. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects your taste, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville, or you can call them at 479-856-6100. Now, in Arkansas, greatness starts early. For that Georgia game, it's going to start real early.
Real early.
It starts early. Before the pads go on and before the crowd roars, the day begins at the breakfast table. Eggland's Best delivers superior nutrition with more vitamin D and less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Start strong with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. We also want to recognize our friends at Bentonville Glass. Bentonville Glass has been serving its community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Stop by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or you can visit them online at bentonvilleglass.com. That wraps up our podcast for myself and Anthony Hicks, the A-Train. We will be back next week.
Yes, sir.
We're going to break down the second game of the season. Mm-hmm. The Hogs go to Utah.
Yes.
Late kickoff, but we're there for it.
Hey, Code Red, let's go.
Let's go Code Red. You heard it, Code Red. So until next time, for Anthony Hicks, I'm Chip Sousa. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns this September as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship presented by P&G. Join us September 21st through the 27th at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers to watch the world's best female golfers compete. Plus, enjoy family-friendly activities, food, and entertainment all week long. Tickets start at just $10. Visit www.nwachampionship.com to learn more and purchase your tickets today.